Oh my gosh, I'm adopting a puppy right now. But I realize what's at home. Oh no, I have nothing. Well, except unconditional love. But yeah, no crate, no pee-pee pads, no dental chews for his little puppy teeth. Before I doubt myself as a new parent, I just get Instacart to deliver everything from PetSmart. Easy, just like raising a puppy is gonna be, right? Get Pet Essentials from PetSmart with Instacart. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Today we are continuing our series, Kingdom Economics, and one of the things that it seems like is becoming more and more common when I ask, I need to do something with my coffee. I need like a little, it's like small table up here, like, there you go, that's perfect, okay. One of the things that seems like it's more and more common when I'm in conversation with people and asking them, hey, how are you doing? One of the most frequent responses is, doing good, busy, just busy. Yeah, we're good, we're just busy, you know, as I got this or that. It just seems like things are crazy busy right now. In fact, I put out a poll on our Facebook group this past week, just curious, how many of you had recently had a conversation where you commented how busy you were, and about half the people responded yes. So maybe another impromptu poll this morning. Raise your hand if you have recently been in a conversation with someone in which you or the other person commented about how busy things were. Raise your hand. Maybe in the last few weeks. Okay, 2/3 of us at least in the room. Those of you who didn't raise your hands, you're not being honest. So I'm disappointed in that. No. But just wanted to point out, I think this is a common thing, that it's just like a norm. It's accepted. It's just normal for us to comment about how busy we are. It's a badge of pride. It's almost as if we don't say that we're busy, there's this overwhelming feeling that comes over us that if I don't say how busy I am, the person I'm talking to is going to wonder, what are you doing? Anything? Are you even productive? What are you doing with your life if you're not busy? It's just part of the normal routine of everyday life. The mantra of our culture is if you're not busy, you must be doing something wrong, right? In fact, the Chinese phrase, I found it very interesting, the Chinese phrase for busyness has two characters in it, which mean kill and your heart. Kill and your heart. It's no secret that busyness, while it gives us a sense of productivity, it's even a badge of honor in this culture, that busyness is a major contributor to not only physical challenges and heart disease, but also mental challenges, anxiety, depression, overwhelming sense. And there's even a phrase for this. Maybe you didn't know this, but there's an official phrase for this. It's called hurry sickness. And the definition of hurry sickness, or a definition, is a malaise in which a person feels chronically short of time and so tends to perform every task faster and to get flustered when encountering any kind of delay. Anybody identify with that? This chronic feeling that there's never enough time to get everything done that we have to get done. If only we had a 25th hour in the day, right? If only we had an 8th day in the week. If only we had a little more time, then things would be better. You ever said this to someone, maybe friend or family? You know, hey, when things slow down, then we'll fill in the blank. When things slow down, then we'll, you know, focus on this. And when things slow down, then we'll focus on this. It's this perpetual looking to the future of something that is never going to happen if we keep down this road. When things slow down. But I want to ask today, what is the cost of all of our busyness? What is the cost of our busyness? The cost is not just physical challenges and health issues and mental challenges, but I believe the cost is also spiritual. And not only is busyness linked to physical and mental health issues, but the more damaging, I would say the more damaging cost to busyness is to our souls. Author and pastor John Ortberg says that I cannot live in the kingdom of God with a hurried soul. And I think it's true. We cannot live in the kingdom of God with a hurried soul, but it seems as though we're just put into this, you know, rat race of everyday American life to do more. But at what cost? Maybe you've never thought of it this way, but if you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, the contributing factor to my busyness, it could be a number of things. In fact, one author terms it the killer peas. And I want to put them on the screen here. The killer peas. And I want you to look at all of these things that are showing up here. Because these are the things that contribute to our busyness. People pleasing. Some of us in the room, we cannot stand it if someone is not happy with us. And so we fill our schedule to meet the needs and please other people. Others of us enjoy that, you know, pat on the back of good job. And so we fill our calendar with things to do. Others of us are addicted to performance. We have to have the approval of others. Others of us are addicted to possessions or proving ourselves or receiving pity or, you know, the very practical reason of poor planning or power, prestige, perfectionism, position or posting. You know, if I just make one more Facebook or Instagram post about how busy we are, then people will just, they will sort of acknowledge that. The killer piece is called. There are a number of reasons that you and I can fall into busyness. And it's not a sin in and of itself to be busy. But what busyness leads to is a condition where it wears on our soul, where before we know it, our soul becomes disconnected. And we feel as though God is not an active part of our life. There's a disconnect between us and God because of our focus. And so I want to ask you these two questions. These are proven questions. Scientifically proven, not really. To determine if you and I are caught up in the deception of busyness, the spiritual enemy of busyness. What are you saying to yourself? Do you frequently say to yourself, I can't keep up this pace? I can't keep doing this. Something's got to change. I'm going to run out of energy. I'm not going to make it much further if I keep going the way I'm going. Or what do others say to you? Do other people in conversation say, hey, if you keep going the way you're going, I'm concerned about you. You can't keep up this pace. Hey, something's got to change or you're going to have a breakdown. What do other people say to you? Friends, I am here today to encourage us and to be vulnerable with you in telling you that I'm terrible at the solution that I'm going to talk about in just a minute. I am right there with you, getting caught up in busyness. But what is the cost? Ronald Rollheiser says that pathological busyness, distraction, and restlessness are major blocks today within our spiritual lives. And see, some of us today, we have grown up, or our personality is wired in the sense that busyness is just, we say, well, that's just who I am. That's just the way I'm wired. I have to be active. I have to be productive. I can't sit on my hands. I have to always be doing something, or what am I going to do with my life? Your calendar and my calendar may be full of appointments and responsibilities, but our spiritual tank is empty. And what good is it when your calendar is full, but your soul is draining? It doesn't have to be this way. In fact, this is not the way God designed for things to be, and God designed us. There is a reason that you and I feel the exhaustion of busyness. It's because God has not created us in that way. All the way back to creation, God is designed for a rhythm of life to be in play. Genesis 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, and so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God created the universe in 6 days. Some pretty amazing stuff. The heavens, the earth, animals, you, me, rain, everything. And then he rested. Pretty productive week. I mean, that's God looks back on his week and said, wow, I checked off a lot of boxes this week. You know, created the universe. Check. And then he rested. Did God need to rest? Was God tired? I mean, was God like, you know, let me just turn on the number 7 on the foam mattress. What's the sleep number? You know, God didn't have a sleep number of 12. He wasn't tired. He wasn't exhausted or overwhelmed. God didn't need to rest, and yet he rested. Isn't that amazing? God who doesn't need a day off, doesn't need sleep, doesn't even need a vacation, doesn't get tired, and does not get irritable, rests. And you and I are made in God's image, meaning that we are created to display the qualities of God to the world, his character, his nature, and we are to mimic what God is like to the world around us. And the simple truth is that God works, and so we work. God rests, so we rest. There is a rhythm set from the beginning of creation of work and rest. That work and rest have this relationship in which they are working together to produce a rhythm of life that works. And whenever we get out of that rhythm, life doesn't work. And we do become exhausted, and we do become overwhelmed. We do feel that overworked sense. We do feel like we're exhausted, and we do think, I don't know how much longer I can go at this pace, or if something doesn't change, I'm going to run out of steam. It's because we're out of alignment with the rhythm that God has established from the beginning of creation of work and rest. And as God does frequently, he established this rhythm of work and rest, and then he gave us a reminder in Exodus 20. Hey, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. There's this constant need for us to recall and remember the rhythm in which God has put in place. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Today we're talking about the practice of Sabbath. Now the word Sabbath in Hebrew literally means to stop or to cease. And so on the Sabbath day, God's people would stop. They would stop working. They would cease from work and rest and be replenished and be refilled. That the Sabbath day was the connector between every other day in their life. Some people say, well, you know, the Sabbath, that's a Jewish thing. I mean, right? We're you know, Christians, and we don't really practice the Sabbath. Or some people say, well, the Sabbath was Saturday, and in Christian tradition, it's Sunday, the first day of the week. And then others of us say, well, you know, it could be any day, but we're missing the point if we argue over the semantics of when the Sabbath day is supposed to happen or if it's supposed to happen. The point is that God has instituted a rhythm of work and rest. Because then we get to the New Testament, and Jesus picks up the rhythm of Sabbath and rest. Mark chapter 6 is an insight into how even Jesus practiced this rhythm of Sabbath. And as I always say, if Jesus does something, we should probably do it too. Pretty simple rule of thumb. But in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, it says that calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. And then we get down to verse 12. It's kind of the highlight. It says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So the disciples were sent out by Jesus to do some amazing things. Heal people. Preach repentance. Things were going well. They were sent out. The mission was going gangbusters. They come back to Jesus to report all that they had done and that they were doing. And it was kind of like this environment of, hey, Jesus, like, wait till you hear this. Like, this was we went here and we healed this person and we preached this message of repentance and people repented and it was just amazing. They come back and there's this sort of rally of all the celebration of all that had happened and a reporting to Jesus of all that had happened. Then we get down to verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Maybe they had a flipboard, you know, just wrote it down. Jesus is like, oh, that's amazing. Yeah, healed this person. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Peter. Okay, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Look at this list of things, guys. I mean, this is amazing. Verse 31, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Wait, what? Jesus, I mean, we want to strike while the iron's hot, right? Did you not hear what we just said and reported? All that we had done, this list of amazing things, Jesus, like, this is the time to ramp it up, right? I mean, this is like, let's go back out and take the success of this trip and just turn up the volume. We got, you know, that word mo, Jesus, momentum. You know mo, right? Your friend, mo is your friend, Jesus. We have mo. We have momentum. Let's go back out and take that momentum and do even greater things, Jesus. I mean, come on. Don't you want to take advantage of all of this success and momentum? And Jesus says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Because Jesus knows that your success should be a trigger for rest and worship. Jesus knows that the rhythm of work is now entering into the rhythm of rest. And that if they did not rest, their work would be ineffective. See, most of us look at this and we rest from our work. We only rest when it's absolutely necessary, when we're literally exhausted, or when someone tells us, if you don't rest, this will happen. Or when the doctor tells us, hey, you need to like take it down a notch. You need to slow down. Your pace is not sustainable. Most of the time, we only rest when we're forced to. We rest from our work, but Jesus shows us how to work out of our rest. You see the difference there? Walter Adams says, to walk with Jesus is to walk with a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer and only impedes and spoils our work. It never advances it. See, we think the opposite. We think hurry advances our work. We think hurry is the engine behind our work and our success. But The way of Jesus is the exact opposite, that hurries the death of our spiritual growth. It damages our soul and impedes our work. It never advances it. This is countercultural, because the minute we walk out that door today, we will be bombarded with messages about productivity. I mean, don't you know there's like a billion different productivity apps, and you can download them all right now, and you can then do, it just sends you notifications when you're supposed to do this or that. And we are slaves to this thing and to the lie of hurriedness. And we have hurry sickness. So how do we do what Jesus tells us to do, to rest? We rest is when we're connected with Jesus. Sabbath is when we rest and worship, and we're delighting in God. We are finding joy. We are refilling the spiritual tank of our lives to go back out into this world that drains it each and every day. If you haven't been convinced that we're in need of the practice of Sabbath, then maybe Jesus' words will convince you. In Matthew 11, the Message version says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." I love that. Feel like you're not even in control of your life. Jesus says, "You'll recover it. Come back and take it back. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." See, the pace of life in this culture burdens us down, but the way of Jesus lifts that from us, where we are free and without burden, because his burden is light. And so how do we Sabbath? I think we Sabbath from this truth that rest is an act of worship. Maybe we've never thought of it that way, but rest is an act of worship. Taking a nap is a spiritual thing. So you have my blessing to go home today and take a spiritual nap. Yeah, amen. Come on, can I get a, you know, thank you. Rest is an act of worship. So how do we Sabbath? There's two components, I think. The first is pray. It's pray and play. Pray and play. Sabbath is traditionally known as a 24-hour period of time. But I don't want us to be excluded or to just immediately cut this out and tune out to this idea, because a 24-hour period of time is inattainable. So as I'm talking through this, I want you to think about maybe at least a two-hour period of time. Okay, let's start there. A two-hour period of time, pray and play. Pray is obviously commune with God. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Listen to worship music that connects you with God. Journal. Maybe write a prayer down, or just write what's going on in your life and just pray about that. Or open the Psalms and read through a couple of the Psalms. The point is, through prayer, through reading a scripture, through listening to worship music, through just being with God. That's the pray part. And the play part is doing something that you enjoy, that brings you joy. You know, take a walk, go exercise, disconnect from your phone and social media for an afternoon, for a half day. I mean, I know that's like, you know, our heads are exploding. One suggestion I saw, which was great, I thought was great: if you have a family and you've got cell phones in the family, have a basket in a room in the house where when people come into the house, they put their phone in the basket. I promise you, you're not going to self-combust. Put your phone in the basket. Turn your phone off. Take social media off your phone. Whatever you have to do. Because friends, we have to fight for this. Culture is not going to say, you know what? You want to take rest? I will make it so that it's easy for you. We have to fight for this. Spend time alone with God. Spend time with family and friends. Some of us think that practicing the Sabbath is where you get alone like the monks and it's like awkward. And I'm a social person, Mitchell. So, I mean, part of Sabbath can be spending time with people you love to spend time with. The point is that you are connecting to God through prayer, through being with God, communing with Him, and through things you enjoy. Getting outside, taking a walk, like I said, doing things that bring you joy. Friends, we cannot live in the kingdom of God with a hurried soul. And so I want to encourage you, start today. And by the way, like, I know some people say, well, you know, it's hard for me to Sabbath. And Sunday, maybe you said this, Sunday is the only day that I have, right? I'm like, well, okay, then make Sunday your Sabbath. Now, Sunday for me is not the Sabbath because I'm working. I mean, it's exhausting. You're not exhausting. I'm just saying, like, so Sunday for me is not my Sabbath. And like I said, I'm terrible at this. So I don't want any of you to think, oh, he's got it. I don't have it figured out. But I know that this rhythm of life is the way God has created us. That if we don't put this rhythm in our life with work and rest, then we will not, it's not sustainable. You can't have joy and live a hurried life. You can't. It's impossible. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to take the first step. Maybe for you, it's disconnecting from this for a half day. Turning your phone off on Saturday afternoon or whenever during your week where you can focus and be present with the people around you. Or maybe for you, it's getting up a little bit earlier than everyone else and spending time with God. Or maybe it's after everyone's gone to bed, maybe it's staying up a little bit later and spending time with God. It's whatever works for you. Every one of us is different. Or maybe for you, it's taking a walk when the weather's nice, because some of us, we connect with God more out in nature. But the important thing and the encouragement is to take the first step. See, Jesus invites us to a rhythm of rest because he knows that the burdens that we are carrying are too heavy for us. And his invitation is to come to him, to find rest, real rest, Jesus says. A rest is not just a day off, but a rest is a time of rest and worship where we connect with God. It's a rhythm that God has invited us to step into. We have to fight for it. It's inconvenient. It won't make sense. The schedule won't. It will not. If you open your calendar, it will not make sense on your schedule. I'm not asking you to add another thing to your schedule. I'm asking you to look at your current schedule and ask yourself if this rhythm is sustainable and what it's doing to your soul. To come to him and find rest. Walk with me and work with me. Learn from Jesus. His promise is that he will not lay anything heavy on us, but that we will live free and without burden. That's real life. That's real life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we confess our inadequacy and our failure to practice rest. Lord, to spend time with you and delight in you. But God, we ask for your help through your Spirit, we might become people who practice this rhythm of work and rest, because this is how you designed things to work. This is how you designed us. So God, give us the power this week when it's inconvenient or when we're bombarded with messages to do more, that we would resist the urge to prove ourselves or receive accolades or fall into people-pleasing, whatever it is that contributes to our busyness, Lord, but that we would withdraw and commune with you. Maybe that's in the car, or maybe that's 30 minutes before everyone else gets up, or maybe it's 30 minutes after everybody has gone to bed, Lord, but whatever that looks like, that collectively we would seek to find rest in you, to be refilled and refreshed, to work from our rest and not rest from our work. We need your help in this, Jesus. Fill us with more of you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.